From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, messages from the other side. Here's what's happening. The FBI, Secret Service, and Florida law enforcement searching for one or more suspects, they say, tried to change the makeup of a local town's water in a failed attempt to add a potentially caustic chemical by remotely accessing the computer system at a treatment plant that services that entire city. A plant operator at the Oldsmar Water Treatment Facility stopped a hacker's attempt to elevate the amount of sodium hydroxide in the water to dangerous levels. Federal partners have joined forces in probing the case. My gosh. Well, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention suggested testing people for the coronavirus before U.S. domestic flights could help to reduce the transmission, requiring travelers to receive a negative coronavirus test before boarding domestic flights could be another mitigation measure, according to the CDC director. We'll see what happens to that. The experts from the World Health Organization, an organization we have left as a nation, all but eliminated a controversial theory that COVID-19 came from a laboratory in the Chinese city of Wuhan, which I still believe happened. Let's check in with Dr. John Curtis. John, what kind of a farce is this? What's going on there?
This is more smoke blowing by who, George? I reported on this very early on in the crisis, if you recall, that lab in the Wuhan Institute of Virology is a very likely place where this leaked. Now, remember this. In early January, January 14th, Tedros and Hammond, the director general of WHO, said that there was no human-to-human transmission in Wuhan, China. At that time, the bodies were piling up on the streets. The crematoriums were running 24/7. And so Trump, as of the 31st of January, canceled all flights to and from China. Then 5 days later, Tedros again held a press conference. And Tedros said that it was unfair of anybody to interfere with another country's commerce, you know, what was going on. 2 weeks later, Tedros came out again and, you know, was making statements that there was no human-to-human transmission. Now, there were reports at the time by Xi Jinping, okay, and that was on the 14th of February. And Xi Jinping said that he was instituting a new law in China to tighten biosecurity at its microbiology laboratories. Now, if you recall, at the time, China was blaming this on infected products from a wet market and from a seafood market. So why would the president of China, Xi, be telling people that he's increasing biosecurity at his microbiology labs unless something happened? What WHO is doing right now is responding to Tom Cotton, basically, who's saying that that virus leaked from that lab, and what they're saying, and they're very specific about it at the lab. They're saying that it's very unlikely that a quote accident took place, and what they mean by that is like a broken test tube or something. Now, what they're not saying is that it's possible in doing all of the experimentation on those deadly coronaviruses that one of those lab workers was either infected or the lab animals that they used to experiment on were sold into that wet market and infected citizens in Wuhan and spread this virus like wildfire. So whatever is being said by WHO right now is pure smoke blowing, and they know where that virus came from, and it wasn't the wet market, and it wasn't the seafood market.
You're spot on, John, spot on indeed, and even the former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, believes that it happened in that viral lab as well, as I do. Americans stuck at home with more discretionary funds at their disposal, but fewer spending options because of the COVID-19 pandemic are piling into the stock market and sprucing up their homes with their money. Bitcoin going out of sight, hitting a record of $48,200 per Bitcoin. What the heck is going on? Let's check in with Charles Koppes, author of America's Financial Reckoning Day. What is happening with Bitcoin, Chuck?
Well, it's catching a bid, we might say. I mean, we could have got it for $50 back in 2013. We missed out, George.
We did.
Bitcoin, 47,000, 48,000. It's up 20% this week, 60% on the year, and it was $20,000 last October. It's doubled. So this is happening. Elon Musk is rumored he would buy some Bitcoin. Well, he sure did, $1.5 billion. You can even buy some of his products with Bitcoin. He's setting that up. So pretty big event. It's also rumored that Apple might move $5 billion in Bitcoin. That's just 5 days of cash flow for those people. And they want to create an Apple wallet to compete with Coinbase. This is big news. Some say it could go to $100,000, George. I mean...
And you think so?
Well, some are saying it could because you've got institutional money coming in, hedge funds, big ones, BlackRock, Bridgewater, the biggest, multi-billions in dollars. Last year, MicroStrategy Corporation bought $500 million, and it's up 120%. It's a cloud-based IT firm. Well, that caught the attention of some people, and they're buying more. And even PayPal is now allowing you to buy and sell in Bitcoin. You can't hold it there at PayPal, but you know you can buy it. I own some shares of Bitcoin through Grayscale Trust. It's a holding company for Bitcoin because they're not allowing the ETFs to be established by the SEC. They've been petitioning that for 8 years now. And through this holding company, you can get 1,000 shares equals one Bitcoin, so $47 a share. You know, you can look that up. But that's something to have in your portfolio, I think. My biggest risk aversion or hedge is, of course, in silver because I mentioned this last week. The market cap for Bitcoin is now $870 billion. That's 35 times the amount of silver. That's bigger than 45 of the top 50 biggest corporations in America.
Unbelievable. It truly is.
You know, I don't see much downside risk on the metal space. I would stay there. I'm going to share more in my next free newsletter available at my website, idpconsultinggroup.com.
Super. All right, Chuck, and we'll talk to you next week, my friend. Thank you so much. Mary Wilson, a founding and longest-running member of the Supremes, has died. She was 76 years old. She died suddenly at her home in Henderson, Nevada. Her longtime friend and publicist, Jay Schwartz, said this in a statement. No cause of death was given. Mary Wilson, founding member of the Supremes, dead at the age of 76. In a moment, investigative mythologist William Henry joins us. Wait till you hear what he has to say next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. William Henry with us, author, investigative mythologist, futurist. William has been writing about human transformation and merger with technology for years. He's the author, the spiritual advisor, and presenter on the hit television program Ancient Aliens, which I pop on once in a while, and presenter of several Gaia programs, including Ascension Keepers, which has been airing. Along with his wife, Claire, he leads luxury spiritual adventure tours to Egypt, England, France, and Spain, Italy, and Israel. Has COVID stopped that, William?
It has temporarily, George.
Yeah, unfortunately. I always remember that day you were on a bus in Egypt when we were talking to you, just when the Arab Spring was happening. Remember that?
Oh, that was such an incredible day, and we were so lucky to get to the airport that day, and that call with you live as we're on the highway going to the airport was one of the true memories of my life.
How have you been?
Oh, very well. Thank you very much.
Good. You've been working away, I hear.
I've been working away, yeah. I've been doing lots of things. As you mentioned, we've got a new Ancient Aliens season starting on Friday, William Shatner in the first episode, so that was a lot of fun.
That's great. That's great. It's glad that they're still taping some things, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it was took a while to get it together because it's been so difficult to work in Los Angeles, but then we found this little window and had a great time putting the show together.
Well, that's great. That's great. Lots to talk with you about tonight. And one includes, of course, Disclosure, the Galactic Federation. And let's go through them one by one. Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on, you know, these UFOs that we've seen from released videos from the Pentagon. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, of course, immediately captures our attention when you've got one layer of the Pentagon coming out and talking that this is unidentified. And my interest in it came from some observations made by some physicists who were saying, well, wait a minute, these videos are showing signs of what we would describe as a warp craft or a warp drive. And especially they were saying they referred to this as magic bubble technology, going back to 1994. Miguel Echubieri, who's a physicist, was working on manipulating other dimensions or higher dimensions that could put a warp drive around a spacecraft by contracting space in front of it while expanding space behind it, effectively making this craft sort of like a bobber on the ocean. And as I'm reading this and thinking about this, I'm like, wait a minute, this is resonating or ringing bells with work that I was doing after Alcubierre launched his proposal, because we see some of these ideas expressed in ancient art and also stories of craft that remain stationary but can manipulate space-time around them. So it really set me off on this idea that perhaps what we're looking at in these videos, the Tic Tac video in particular, could be an extraterrestrial craft, or it could be something that was here in the ancient world as well, maybe even from an earlier or previous human civilization.
Absolutely. And what's your gut tell you? What do you think they are?
My gut is telling me that they're probably from the past, and that they're not entirely nuts and bolts technology, that we're dealing with some form of a spiritual technology here. That we're talking about beings, and George, when you're looking at these images, these are craft that can go 5,000 miles an hour, and there's no way the fragile human body is going to be able to withstand some of the maneuvers that these craft are making. So they're either in a beyond a flesh and blood form, maybe some sort of a light body form, or we're talking about a degree of consciousness that we can't even comprehend yet.
We've had a story several weeks ago about an Israeli rocket scientist who says and claims that Israel and the United States know about aliens and they've been in discussions with them. I mean, it's an incredible story. Why would that guy make this up?
Right, exactly. Chaim Eshed, he's 87 years old. He's retired. He's going to be promoting a book. And he comes out and says, yeah, Israel and the U.S. have known about extraterrestrials and have been working with them for a long time. And he drops the dime on what he refers to as the Galactic Federation. And that gets everybody, some people are going to be snickering over that. That sounds too much like Star Trek. But then other people are taking it seriously, saying, yeah, this sounds just like Star Trek. And that we have been in cahoots with aliens for a long time. And there is, in fact, a federation that we are a part of or soon will be a part of.
Absolutely. It's just dramatic. But, you know, Steve Bassett for years has been saying that we are close to disclosure. And that was years ago. And I kept telling him, Steve, it's not coming yet. It's not coming yet. At this point, it might be coming. What do you think?
I think it's just about here. And I think part of what's been happening is we've needed to catch up on AI, because if you track it, you notice that the rise of AI and then the rise of talk about disclosure, they go hand in hand. And I think that kicking into the, as we get closer to the singularity, when the machines that we're building become smarter than we are, that is the key to opening up the alien intelligence behind artificial intelligence. And that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Book of Revelation. You have looked at that, and I've had a lot of experts on, William, that have talked about how close we are to end times. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it's quite alarming how in the middle of it we actually are. I think we've waded deep into the Book of Revelation, in particular this Revelation chapter 20, where you have the arrival of a beast and the mark of the beast, the image of, and getting people to worship the image of the beast. I think we're there right now. Just very quickly, the Book of Revelation proposes that a dragon will come out of the sky and will engender two beasts that are worshipped, and one creates the image of the beast, which is assuredly some sort of a global technology, most certainly AI-based in our time. Because more than likely, George, the Book of Revelation, it's so archetypal or symbolic that it does repeat itself in age after age after age. And in our age, the dragon, it represents, China. and the people that are allied with China, the technology people, the religious people, not religious people, actually, because they're mostly communists, but the political people that are supporting communist China as this dragon that seeks to take over the world and get everybody on their social credit system. And that's where we're at right now, is that we are seeing this alarming rise in the authoritarianism, the control. And that is the hallmark of the Book of Revelation, where you will be forced to take the mark of the beast, which could be most certainly some form of a quantum tattoo, and also to worship the image of the beast. And all those who don't worship the image of the beast are decapitated. Well, we don't take people to guillotines these days. We have cancel culture that takes care of that, that beheads people digitally. And this is where the Book of Revelation is playing out right now. It's in the digital sphere. It's all online, and the merger of our online world, the AI world, with our flesh and blood bodies.
And the mark, the 666, what do you think that represents?
Well, of course, in order to buy, sell, or trade, you have to have the mark of the beast on your forehead or your hand, and that could well be the quantum tattoo I mentioned just a moment ago. That's a no-brainer in some people's opinion, and we are in the process now of, well, we've already merged with AI, and what's going to come next is well beyond the close monitoring that is happening now, and in fact, the mandating of having to have some form of implantable chip in order to participate in society.
It's coming, isn't it?
It's here.
Oh, yes.
It's already here. And what we have to do, I believe, is to wake up, if you will, and realize, okay, this is the script that is being played out. We all have a role in it. The good guys win in the end. But in order to get there, we've got to look for, well, the Book of Revelation in chapter 20 discusses a rainbow angel that comes out of the sky, and who some people think is Christ, but illuminates all of the believers, those that remain true to God and have the seal of not the beast, but rather God on their forehead. And a lot of what this is about really is the destruction of our concept of the human soul. Big tech, the big data swingers, as I sometimes refer to them, they are on a mission to convince you that you don't have a soul, that you are merely information, you're merely data, in this old archaic idea, this metaphysical concept that you're some kind of eternal being created by God is nonsense. That is their core concept, and that is what the beast also seeks to make happen as well, to get everybody off this idea that they are made in the image of God and remake them in the image of the beast, which is can be interpreted as some sort of an AI robot, as a clone, as a holographic being, maybe even some sort of 3D synthetic human that we're starting to see companies like Samsung produce online.
What do you think of the Antichrist and who it might be?
Well, the Antichrist is the second beast in the Book of Revelation scenario, and the key thing for identifying the Antichrist is that this figure suffers a mortal wound and then is resurrected. Well, just back in December, Microsoft was given a patent for a resurrection app. They call it the zombie app, where you can basically digitally resurrect any human being that's ever existed in history, and most particularly any individual where you have voice recordings, where you have images, and so forth. And so I'm thinking the Antichrist could well be a player on our world today, maybe one of the big tech swingers, but more than likely it's going to be what I refer to as a superhuman artificial intelligent entity. It's going to be a being that is made from the digital realm that doesn't exist yet, but is the cells of its body are being produced right now with the attention that everybody gives to the AI systems online. And so what happens is that this Antichrist figure emerges and gets everybody to worship it because it has the power of resurrection. And the way that's going to get people to resurrect themselves is to annihilate their physical flesh and blood body and resurrect themselves in the online or the digital realm, which is rapidly developing right now with virtual reality and augmented reality and so forth.
William, do you think end times is a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, ultimately, it's a good thing because we have the rainbow angel comes out of the sky. People are suddenly illuminated, or the believers are. And then we have the cube-shaped New Jerusalem suddenly show up, and God comes down and lives among humanity. And we have 1,000 years of peace. So, yeah, it's a very good thing. It ultimately represents the ultimate ideal that we've all been seeking for millennia. But in the meantime, we have to go through this very dark phase where you have these players that seek this total control of humanity, and ultimately what they are seeking, which they don't have, is a soul.
They want it all. We're going to talk more about high-tech, William, in a second on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, William Henry with us. William, when did you become interested in mythology? How did that happen for you?
Gosh, I started doing a lot of research on extraterrestrials in the early 90s and started realizing that there were so many myths and legends about star beings and celestial beings, and that got me hooked on the idea, and I realized that in a lot of those stories they were actually talking about kernels of truth or even history that were disguised as mythology, and this is how the stories were able then to be told throughout the ages.
How big can technology get, and how can it affect us?
Well, technology can become everything. In fact, we are now part of, according to the World Economic Forum, our bodies are part of what's called the Internet of Bodies. We used to talk about the Internet.
Our soul is gone, right?
Yeah, the soul's gone, and now your body is just like Pinocchio strung up on a string here to the Internet of Bodies, and it's equal in their view to your toaster, your microwave, or your car. Anything it's online used to be part of the Internet of Things, and now our bodies are part of the Internet of Things. And ultimately, what they're seeking is just the complete eradication or erasure of the idea of the individual. We will be one single unified human race. There will be one being on this planet.
Interesting take. Now, what is fueling that? What's pushing that?
Well, there's two takes on what's fueling that. One is that it's an extraterrestrial source. It could be some alien intervention. Artificial intelligence is definitely an alien intelligence. Although the other view comes from James Lovelock, who gave us the Gaia hypothesis that the Earth is a living entity.
Mm-hmm.
And he believes AI is an emergent property of Gaia itself, that it is, the planet has sent AI, and in his view, to destroy humanity for what it's done to the planet.
Interesting take. I'm not sure that's the case, but what do you think?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't make as much sense as some kind of a marauding alien intelligence that's come to Earth to take us over, to like in the Borg story. I mean, you would think that if it's coming from the planet, that the planet would go for, instead of artificial intelligence, it would go for more of what I refer to as angelic intelligence. It would make us love Mother Earth. We tried that. It didn't work. And now we have this mandate coming from on high from the global elite that can tell us exactly what we can do, but what they can decide to forget about for themselves. So I personally think it's coming from the outside. I think that artificial intelligence and this technology is extraterrestrial in origin.
Is big tech getting too big?
Big tech has been too big for a long time. And they are the Facebook, Google, Apple. They're the three new branches of the global government. They are the global government. They have completely taken over everything. In fact, you know, Google used to be the number one visitor to the beginning in the Obama years, to the Obama White House. Then in the Trump years, they lost a little bit of their power. That's why they came back so aggressively. And now they've completely taken over. And we now live in effectively an authoritarian society, tech-driven authoritarian society.
Now, in some cases, though, William, technology is pretty darn good, isn't it?
It can produce miracles. It can prolong life. It can save lives. It can have dramatic impacts on many areas of our lives. The trade-off for that, though, is our souls, because in order to fully buy into the tech dream of a transformed planet, you give up your individuality, you drop any nonsensical beliefs you have in religion, spirituality, the soul, anything that used to think you made you a human. Now you become, you merge with AI, you become part of a single uniform global entity.
It is amazing how technology has so much information on us that we don't even know about.
We don't even know about it, and that's the key part, is that there are actually two versions of ourself now. There's our biological life, and then there's our digital life. And our digital self will long outlive our biological self. And this is what big tech is doing now, is encouraging people to create these digital avatars, these cartoon versions of themselves that they can, quote-unquote, resurrect, and you'll be able to live on and on and on for hundreds of years digitally.
I have seen babies with smartphones, mm-hmm. their parents' phones, obviously.
Yeah.
But they know how to do it. They know how to work it.
I've
never seen anything like this before.
Yeah, they come in somehow hardwired, pre-wired to be able to do this, and then big tech is sitting there ready to do a dictum for life. You cannot get these devices out of their hands. It's child abuse is what it is.
Well, what would you say is wrong with big technology, the wrong part of it?
The wrong part of technology is they view you, George, as data. You think of yourself as this soft, cuddly, spiritual being created by God. To them, you're just information. You're just data. You are not some spiritual entity dwelling within the physical body we know of and recognizes you. You are just the information that you've put up online. And you better get used to that. And if you don't like that idea, you can go live on an island somewhere, because that is their perspective. And ultimately what they seek to do is to completely eradicate any notion of an individual type being. And this is why it's so scary. And this is, of course, the root and core of their authoritarian approach, is they want to eradicate anything that smacks of religion or spirituality, and turn us into a complete and uniform technocracy.
Is there a way out, or do we just let it happen?
Well, back to the Book of Revelation, the Antichrist is thrown into an abyss or in a hole, a pit, for 1,000 years and locked up. So yes, there is hope that if AI is the image of the beast that we're going to be forced to worship in order to operate in society, that there is hope that we can somehow contain it. And this is the big drama among big tech right now, is it's probably too late. We should have been thinking about the ethics and morals of AI much stronger a decade or so ago. But we didn't have any leadership on the political side or the spiritual or religious side, so big tech just walked all over the planet and put its boots on our neck, and here we are.
Would you say that China is the biggest offender of high technology?
I think I puzzled for a while. Why would an American entrepreneur, young guys coming up out of Harvard and so forth, creating these mega companies, why would they want to act like such authoritarians? Why would they want to take away people's privacy and tell them what to think and what they can say and what they can do and surveil them 24/7? Why would you do that? Are they communists? No, they're capitalists. But what they subscribe to is exactly what the dragon seeks in the Book of Revelation. And I think they're all cut from the same cloth. While they appear to be Chinese in origin or American by birth, they're none of those things. They are part of some other entity that is completely different from ordinary human beings. And they subscribe to this idea that all humans should submit to their authority.
I mean, China's got now like a credit score for you for just day-to-day living?
They have since 2018. That's right. In order to get on a train or to live normal everyday life, you must be within the limits of your social credit score. And if your social credit score is too low, they have a different kind of train for you. And that's what's already started here in America. This is the cancel culture that we've installed in these past few years and allowed to take over our society. And this is the danger of technology, is that you begin to just take away people's rights. You're unelected. government officials now, and you're telling people what they can and can't think, what they can do with their time, and if they don't obey, then they're out, they're canceled, and that is anti-human. It's dehumanizing, and this is the source of all the dehumanization going on in our world right now. It's all AI-driven, and this idea that people should be machines.
William's website is his name, williamhenry.net, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. You've had that website for years, haven't you?
I have, over 20 years now, yeah.
That's fantastic. You get a lot of hits. I used to remember you had a counter on them. Do you still have a counter? And I used to watch your hits every time you'd come on the air.
Oh, I know.
It would just go crazy.
Such great times. It's still great times. But, yeah, those early days, it was so new and very exciting.
What, as you look at all of this, Book of Revelation, high technology, disclosure, what is out there that really concerns you as a mythologist, as an investigator?
What concerns me is just how willing people are to give over their soul or to forget about this whole idea that we have a soul. Elon Musk, you're just a neural spike. That's it. This all out here seems so real. It's just a simulation. It's not real. And when you start bringing a generation of people up with that idea, it is just mind-bogglingly dangerous and alarming. But that's what they're doing. And it's ultimately saying all of human history has been a wasteland, and the real story only begins when you merge with AI. And that to me is, and that's obviously right where we're at right now, that is the most dangerous place, because then what you're ultimately saying is that human life is worthless. It's worthless. And I can't imagine, nor do I really want to imagine, a world that is godless, that has no soul, and has no spirituality. But that's what we're creating right now.
Will that day come where they will say that you need a chip in your hand or some kind of laser tattoo in order to function in society?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Probably within the next 2 to 3 years.
That soon.
That soon, yes, absolutely.
In order to buy or sell, right?
In order to get on an airplane, in order to go into a grocery store, not a movie theater anymore, a sporting event, to function in society, yes, you will have to have this.
Will people uprise and say, no, we're not going to do this, or will they just fall in line?
No, you'll have uprisings. You'll have pockets of people that opt out. How many? It's hard to say right now. But remember, according to the Book of Revelation, which is the source, the guiding text for this scenario, the good guys win, and this technology is ultimately harnessed or captured.
Do you think when the Bible was being written, when Revelation was being written, that those authors knew what was going to happen in the future?
I, in part, I do, yes. I also recognize the symbolic and archetypal nature of the Book of Revelation, the apocalypse. It's all about, ultimately, the word apocalypse, people say, oh, it means lifting of the veil. Yes, that's true. But ultimately, what it really means is it's a communication, a transmission from an otherworldly being, in this case, a rainbow angel, to a human being for the purpose of awakening or illuminating their consciousness, plugging them into a greater reality. So, in fact, every day people go through their own personal apocalypse. People that see angels, have near-death experiences, have maybe even gone through alien abduction, all are forms of apocalypse. And so we have the global level of the text, then you also have the individual level where we each can go through this at any time. And as I mentioned earlier, I think this pattern is repeated throughout the ages. And in our age, in our time, the beast very clearly is big tech, and the Antichrist is the new being that is going to emerge from big tech, whether, again, it's a clone, a hologram, or some kind of an entity that is created digitally online that we all suddenly start wanting to worship.
We're going to take your calls with William Henry next hour. When you talk about rainbow angels, explain that.
In the Book of Revelation, in chapter 20, the sky's open, the heavens open, and an angel comes out of the sky with a rainbow around its head. So I refer to that being as the rainbow angel.
Okay. Now, that angel, why is there a rainbow around it?
The reason why is because the rainbow, on one level, symbolizes the glory of God. It also symbolizes the energetic state of being that this angel is in. In Tibet, they call this the rainbow light body. It corresponds with the Judeo-Christian idea of the image of God. When it says we're made in the image of God, that is a pattern, an energetic pattern, as opposed to our physical flesh and blood body. So we're not a clone of a flesh and blood being. We contain within us an image that is described as the glory of God and is portrayed artistically as a being with the rainbow light around its body.
Is that a good thing?
Yes, it is. Because ultimately, as the Tibetans teach and the Egyptians taught the same thing, Judeo-Christianity says this image of God is within us. It is our true self. It is our true divine nature. And tapping into and connecting with our divine nature is the way to overcome the beast.
What is this mind-created entity you keep talking about?
Well, when you the technical term for mind-created entities is an egregore.
Egregore, okay.
Egregore, yeah. It's a group of people can put their minds or thoughts together and create this entity. Uncle Sam is an example of an egregore. There is no being called Uncle Sam, but every American knows who Uncle Sam is. And we have formulated him into a physical body. You can identify anybody. Most Americans can identify Uncle Sam. Yeah, he's the guy with the star-spangled hat and the beard.
That's so right. He represents us, the United States.
He represents us. And so this is what big tech is in the process of doing right now. This is the next step, is where we will see the emergence of a physical entity that does not have an actual existence that we will begin to worship. We're already seeing the rise of synthetic beings online. Michaela, for example, is a singer that she has millions of followers on Instagram. She puts out new music all the time and videos. She doesn't exist. She's a CGI being. Okay? And a lot of the kids that watch her and follow her don't know she does not exist.
They think she's the real deal.
They think she's real because they have pictures of her with celebrities and all this kind of thing to get the illusion going. And this is what's going to happen with the beast. We are going to see an egregore appear from Silicon Valley that's created by this community of minds. And this will represent the next step for humanity and millions of people around the world, again, we'll begin to worship this image of the beast, this false entity.
Isn't it brilliant to create a false human?
It is. I mean, and I don't know if you're keeping up online. Samsung, as I mentioned earlier, they've got a new being that they call Neom, that is a fully synthetic human being that exists online, and you cannot tell the difference between these synthetic humans and real human beings. In fact, that's one thing the World Economic Forum says in their videos, is that in the next few years, your body will be so high-tech and artificial, you won't be able to tell the difference between what's real and what's artificial.
That's kind of neat in some ways, but then it's kind of weird in another, isn't it?
Oh, I think it's totally freaky. And ultimately, what the message here is, George, that's so alarming to me, is that when you combine that with their belief in the non-existence of the human soul, they're essentially saying, George, why do you want to stay in your physical body? Why don't you just drop that to save the planet and just up-level yourself, upload yourself, and just live online now? That is the real danger here, is that they are saying that your physical existence does not matter. You don't matter. Your soul is non-existent. Your life is meaningless. Why don't you come live online and get a more attractive, younger, smarter person that represents you? That's what they're saying. And the counter to this, again, is that we have to say, no, we are made in the image of God. We have this spiritual essence within us that AI could never be able to duplicate, and we've got to tap into its powers.
William, stand with us. We're at the top of the hour already. We're going to come back and chat more and take some phone calls with you next hour on Coast to Coast AM.